We're touring Big Rigs on display in Eau Claire on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're checking out dozens of over-the-road semis from across the country and Canada. They're parked at the Northern Wisconsin State Fairgrounds there through the weekend. There's a demolition derby and a night parade of semis. Do you have a fascination with trucks? What do you like about them? Or what don't you like? Are you a truck driver? What do you want to share about your big rig and your job? Join in at 800-642-1234. Terry Biddle is co-owner and coordinator of the Eau Claire Big Rig Truck Show. Terry, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
So what caused you to want to start this Big Rig Truck Show? How did it begin?
Well, I guess I never thought of it that way, but basically we have a company that we started in 1979, and we make items for trucking companies, and they kept saying, hey, let's have a truck show someday. Of course, we got truckers from across the United States. So 10 years ago, I don't know about this today, but this week we started a truck show, and it kind of has outgrown the first previous locations, and now we're at the Northern Wisconsin State Fairgrounds.
And so how big is big? How many trucks do you have coming?
Well, that's always a guess. We have a pretty good idea by watching our websites and stuff and people talking. I'm thinking 150 or 160, but that's just a pure guess. Last year, I think we had 150.
How do you park them all? That's a lot of trucks to coordinate getting in the fairgrounds.
Well, luckily, the young ladies and the men who drive truck are pretty used to getting into some very strange, to say the least, places. So I think we have a staff of about 15 to guide them in and out, like tonight when they have the parade. And then when they come back, then we will have tied different ribbons on each one of their mirrors, so our staff can identify them coming in the dark, and we'll have plenty of lights. And then we park them back in a location that we've already been measured to put the trucks in.
So what's this parade like tonight? Well, how does it work?
Well, it kind of goes way back to when we started. We had in Eau Claire for the first 6 years, and it turned into just a massive event. I know I've never been in the parade because I'm trying to work with our staff to get them in and out. But I know down in Menominee Street on Eau Claire's west side, we had some pictures and we counted that there was 15 rows of seats or chairs on Menominee Street. And it was spread from one end of the block to the other. And there's a lot of people who just use this as the family reunion. It's pretty cool. In fact, it's real cool.
So these trucks are all lit up. They're probably outlined in lights.
Yes, there's. We had a couple other interviews earlier midweek, and I should ask them how many lights are on there, but there's got to be 200 or 300, and he's got lights from down below of the bunk and whatever. And his theme is kind of white with flames, and then he has yellow and green lights. And of course, some of them aren't legal to drive in the road, but when you have a beautiful event like this, the people really come out to see it.
Go ahead. Yeah, we're talking about a festival that celebrates all things trucking. The Eau Claire Big Rig Truck Show is in its 10th year. Terry Biddle coordinates the show. Truck drivers, have you ever participated in a truck show? What kind of truck have you displayed? Have you been in a parade? What was it like talking with community members about trucks? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Terry, why do you think it's important to showcase the trucking industry and how it's performing at an event like a truck show?
Well, it's a good way to introduce younger people who may want to get into trucking, or anybody for that matter. You could buy a truck there. We got 100 and some vendors. But you can buy a truck, you can rent a truck, you can talk to people who drive it, and you can even make your decision at the show if you want to drive for some carrier. I think we've got 11 different carriers that drive throughout the United States.
So this is also more. This is also more like an industry type of event as well, including for just everyday people.
Oh, absolutely! And like I say, the vendors are they just love coming to it. We've got I'll change it a little bit. We've got plenty of food. I think we have 10 different food vendors. I remember from last year, and they're just fantastic. And one of the things we're doing this year, because it's our 10th anniversary, we are having many items for the children, okay? Because if the children see what's going on, you know, they might become truckers someday. But it's a family event. This afternoon, we have what is referred to as a coin dig, but it's actually a corn dig. We're going to put $300 in some different pools, and kids from, I think, 3 to 5 and different age groups will get in there. Excuse me, and start getting the quarters that we have in there, and they get a little cool little bank. I got to take one out of inventory, a cool little bank that they can put their coins into. So we're starting them young.
Yeah, why do you think it's important that kids understand the trucking industry and get a chance to see these trucks up close?
Well, if they get up in the morning and have their cereal, or if they go outside and get into the pool, that truck probably brought it there. I mean, there's been demonstrations out there, you know, trying to shut down or trying to show people that, hey, if we shut down, look what happens. But the truckers go back to work because they realize that's their job. But bottom line is everything moves by truck, everything.
And because of the growth last year, your event moved out of Eau Claire and into the Northern Wisconsin State Fairgrounds. Now that you have a bigger space, what are you able to do?
Well, we have, I think it's 54 acres at the fairgrounds. And so we last year we had monster trucks. And to be honest with you, the price was a little high just because it costs almost $100,000 to get them here. But this year we went to Demolition Derby. And the only problem is we have no idea how many people are coming. They kind of keep it secret till they show up, which would be tomorrow afternoon, and the demo is from 2 to 6. But we've got more room, and I was looking last night because we had quite a few trucks showing up before the show, and I just hope we don't run out of room.
That's a good problem to have. Well, can you tell us what this Demolition Derby is like?
Yes, ma'am. They're, of course, male and female drivers from across the United States. And they are not the United States, but the local area. And we've got kind of a unique number. We've got 463,000 pounds of clay that we have, well, houses over here in Eau Claire brought it in. And then we leveled it out till late last night. And they slide and get pushed around on this big clay track, which is right in front of the grandstands. So they, for lack of a better word, just crash into each other and go from there. We don't know what to expect there. I know we had sold out seats for the monster trucks being 2 days, Friday and Saturday. This year, of course, we just have it on Saturday. And I think we should have a really good turnout.
We're talking trucks, semis, monster trucks, military trucks, antique trucks. Terry Biddle is our guide. He coordinates the Eau Claire Big Rig Truck Show getting underway today, running through the weekend. Did you grow up going to truck shows in Wisconsin, or do you attend them now that you're an adult? What's the experience like? Do you travel around Wisconsin or maybe to other states to take in truck shows? What do you enjoy about them? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Back for more Wisconsin Weekend in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about over-the-road semi-trucks, more than 100 that are on display in Eau Claire. It is Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're checking out the Eau Claire Big Rig Truck Show at the Northern Wisconsin State Fairgrounds through the weekend. Truck driver John Osborne goes to these truck shows like this all over the country. Here he is at last year's show.
It's kind of like a trucker's carnival, but you can be 16 on a date, you can be 66 on a date, or you can be 6 years old with mom and dad, and everybody's just having fun.
There's a line for you on truck shows. Have you ever attended, like, the one in Eau Claire? What did you see? What was memorable about the event? Do you like to check out trucks on display? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Terry Biddle coordinates the Big Rig Truck Show, and he stays with us. Terry, you're talking there about the Demolition Derby. Can you walk us through what that event is like, and especially for people who've never been to one?
Yes, well, actually, when I was very, very young, probably 18, I was in the Demolition Derby, and I'd like to say it really caught me, but it didn't. It was kind of cool. I just smashed up my grandpa's car, and he was not really super happy, but I didn't like it anyway. It was a 59 Buick. I remember that, but I got my, you know what. So anyway, it went through a couple of years, and a lot of the truckers said, hey, why don't we have a Demolition Derby? So I kind of checked into it. I found a promoter over in the southern part of the state who handles 12 other fairgrounds, and he's the one who kind of handles that. We build the track. In fact, I was working late last night hauling in the what they call Jersey barriers to make it so it's safe to the people. We hauled in, it's kind of a unique number, 463,000 pounds of clay. We had our friends over in the Eau Claire area, Haas's, haul that in. And so we spread it out. And then we work it with a couple tractors and end loaders and stuff. And then we go and pack it. We've got a compactor there like you see in the highways that do the blacktop. And we use that thing to pack it down so that we don't want these trucks. And we do have not semi-trucks, but we do have pickup trucks and stuff that come there. And there's different classes, and we don't want them to dig through the clay. So it's a lot of work. Let's put it that way. We had staff out there last night about 8, running till we're going to start again this morning at 5. So,
where do these vehicles come from that will be getting smashed up? I assume they're not like 59 Buicks anymore.
No, they some unique things we have found out because a lot of people give us advice, and most of it's pretty good. We have found out that a Chrysler, I think it was a 300, is, now this is a few years ago, but it still applies. They actually forbid it in some events around the nation because it's almost indestructible. So that's something you probably want to give to your child. But it's something we didn't know, and I kind of thought they were joking with me, but it's actually true. So we have, at our show, we have 8 different classes. I think it might be 8 or 9. My wife was the one in charge of that, so she's a number person. But we have it we have the vehicles coming in starting early tomorrow morning. Right now we're getting all the semis in. The show actually opens at 3, but the Demolition Derby starts at 2 o'clock on Saturday, and it goes to approximately 6 o'clock. I think it's going to go a little bit longer, but that's kind of the
well. I guess it depends on how fast you can smash up these trucks and cars, huh?
Yes, and we do have a classification for buses. You know, like you see the school buses. Of course, they're painted different colors. But nobody tells even their promoter if they're coming in. They want to kind of keep it a secret. Well, I sure wish I knew so we knew what to plan for parking. But it's neat. We had an interview here yesterday with one of the local TV stations, and we asked for one Demolition Derby car, and we had 3 along with a semi. And I started looking at them, and it may be a dirty, messy work of art, but it's a work of art.
You see the beauty in it. What happens to these vehicles once they're finished at the Demolition Derby? Where did they get taken?
Well, because nowadays it's really become a business. Like one individual has 5 of them, and he actually owns a smaller trucking company, but he has 5 of them. He'll run them for up to 1 or 2 years. Now, you cannot find a square meter without any dents in it, but if you took the chassis away from it, the chassis is just again it's like a masterpiece. the amount of money and seriously, money they spend in these things is it's a lot. I know we have a what we call through the purse, and our purse is $16,250 that will be given away for the different individuals who show up at the show who win. And so can you make some money? Sure. But it's really kind of like a family event, like when we were there yesterday or the day before. We had the whole family there. The little one was up at 6 in the morning, and he was telling me his favorite car. I don't remember what it was.
But, there are so many.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Eau Claire Big Rig Truck Show with its coordinator, Terry Biddle. Do you go to truck shows? Why do you seek them out? What are you curious to know about semi-trucks and military trucks? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Now, Terry, I understand you take in other types of shows like towing shows. What happens at a towing show?
Well, the towing show, now we'll have quite a few tow trucks at our event because, well, we just do. We, our company in Eau Claire, we've been around, like I said, since 1979, I think. And we've got literally thousands, I don't know the exact number, of companies that are towing companies nationwide and trucking companies. And that's kind of how the truck show got started. They said, hey, let's put together a truck show. And I said, oh, guys, this is kind of a lot of work. And we did that, and outgrew the venue at the mall. So, but we go to one that I've been a one-year volunteer on for 26 years,
where,
I think.
Where is that one?
That one moves across the nation. It was out in Reno, Nevada. We had just about 1,000 trucks.
Wow.
And it's just...
So are tow trucks, are they very different from one another? Do they have a lot of different features?
It depends on, like there's some they call rotators. Like there'll be one or two at our show that they can reach over a bridge abutment or something to pick up something that weighs up to, I think, one of the ones I know is an 85-ton rotator. And so them are the big ones. They're more or less for recovery, not for towing, because to begin with, they weigh so much, they're almost overweight before they start towing something. But then you have the flatbeds. Now, we had several of them at the show, or we had three of them in the last couple of days, hauling in the Jersey Bears. They weigh 8,000 pounds apiece, so we can load so many on there. And then we have two massive end loaders that I was running last night to unload them very carefully. And so we're stacking them up this morning around this here clay area, which if it's what it's worth, it's 80 feet by 140, I think. And then we got 6 inches, 8 inches of clay.
Well, you also have some antique trucks on display?
Yes. It kind of goes back many, many, many years. There's two individuals showing up. And they're both retired, but they still haul beer.
Well, that's important.
Oh my gosh, yeah! And they haul it from down in the southern part of the state to Eau Claire. And they're both retired, but they showed up at the show, and they got some beautiful 1970s so Kenworth. Just a great group of guys, and here they come showing up yesterday, like they have for 10 years.
Well, you've had this truck show around quite a while. What's something most people don't know about trucks or even the trucking industry that you could tell us?
Well, we've got, and he's a friend of ours since 1988. He's out of Florida. He showed up here and in Eau Claire. And in fact, he's sitting at our company right now. But in talking to him, this is a real business, okay? Their wives are involved usually. It's computerized. And he just told me last night he's about 20,000 miles short of 4 million miles. And like he emphasized, it's accident-free miles.
Oh, that's a big deal.
Yeah, there's a lady up there. And again, good friend of ours. We've got a lot of friends in towing and trucking. She has what we refer to as a Green Bay Packer truck.
And nice.
She's actually, yeah, it's just a beautiful truck. And one of the little stories there is she went down to a real indoor truck show, very large, in Louisville, Kentucky. And the announcer gets up there because he read 300,000 miles, even though it said 3 million safe miles. And she kind of bumped him in the shoulder and says, "It's 3 million. He goes, "Oh, my gosh. I can't believe this."
Well,
so,
3 well,
million
Terry,
safe miles.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. Terry Biddle coordinates the Eau Claire Big Rig Truck Show, which runs through the weekend. He joined us from our Eau Claire studios. And you can see pictures of last year's event on the Morning Show page at WPR.org/mornings. It is Wisconsin Weekend here on the Morning Show coming up. A German tradition comes to Wisconsin, and we're getting a taste. Stay with us. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. We're learning about German heritage pig roasts here on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, thanks for being here. Roasting pork has been a tradition in many cultures for thousands of years. Old World Wisconsin is in the wooded hills in the southern unit of Kettle Moraine State Forest, and they're hosting an 1860s Spanferkel tomorrow. We thought, hey, let's check it out and see if we can explore some German food ahead of so many Oktoberfest events in the coming weeks. Have you ever been to a heritage pig roast? Is a pig roast part of your family reunions or a community gathering in your town? Join in with your experiences and your tips on the spit roast, 800-642-1234. Kate Dallas is curator and exhibit developer at Old World Wisconsin. Kate, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate. I'm delighted to be with you this morning.
Well, help us understand, what is a German pig roast? What is it all about?
Yeah, the Spanferkel. Well, you know, roasting pig is an ancient tradition in all cultures that are raising pigs for food. So the Spanferkel in Germany is really linked to big community events like Oktoberfest, for instance. So it's young suckling pigs. That's what a Ferkel is. It's an immature pig. So it's a suckling pig. That's a piglet that hasn't been weaned yet. So think 4 to 6 weeks old and maybe is 25 to 35 pounds. So it's roasted over an open fire on a bit. Think about those chicken rotisseries. So you're cranking your pig around and around over this open fire, probably 6 hours or so.
And this is vintage 1860s. What does that mean?
Well, it means that the German immigrants who came to Wisconsin in the 1840s, 50s, 60s, and 70s brought those traditions from their homelands with them to this new life in Wisconsin. We're hosting this pig roast at our 1860s Pomeranian farm, which is a German farm established by new immigrants, brand new to Wisconsin. So their old original traditions are the most vibrant in that space. So we thought Spanferkel would be perfect there.
Will they be dressed in period costumes? What will they be wearing?
Yes, the servers will be in period clothing, and we'll be able to tell those folks who attend about the historic buildings on that farm and the layout and what life might have been like for this German immigrant family in Wisconsin.
What was life like in the 1800s? Were pig roasts common? What brought people together for them?
I think pig roasts would be something that they were certainly family celebrations. So think about weddings and maybe baptisms, entry into the church, but also community. Probably Christmas might have been such a thing. Big community celebrations.
And you're all about historical accuracy at Old World Wisconsin. What traditional methods will you be using to cook this pig? How does it work?
oh gosh, it's over a big open pit fire in the middle of this farmyard, and there's an iron spit made by our blacksmith here on site. So the pig will be attached to the spit, and there will be a person who is turning the spit slowly throughout the course of the day, getting ready for serving this in the evening for the special Spanferkel event.
Is it seasoned in any way or coated?
I don't believe this one has a marinated or has an outer coating, though historically they sometimes were brined first, like we do brining today for different cuts of meat before we barbecue. But this one is right onto the spit.
About how many hours over the pit would you imagine?
Well, it's going to take at least 6. Our pig is a little bigger than that tiny pig size, so it's going to take probably 6 to 8 hours to complete the cooking.
We're talking about German heritage food, and specifically pig roasts with Kate Dallas. She is curator and exhibit developer at Old World Wisconsin. Is a pig roast a part of a tradition in your family? What other German food traditions do you remember or do you take part in? Are you planning to go to an Oktoberfest somewhere around our state this fall? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Kate, what are some other foods that are served with the Spanferkel? What goes around it?
Oh, we're going to have some delicious German potato salad. So that's that classic that we've seen here in Wisconsin quite a bit, sliced potatoes with some bacon and onion and a warm sweet and sour dressing tossed over it. So it's a warm salad. There's going to be traditional rye bread and fresh jam made here on site.
Ooh, what kind of jam?
Well, I've seen two ways. It could be strawberry or it could be currant from our own bushes here. Currants and gooseberries are some of the traditional heirloom plants that we maintain here at Old World. So we use them in our foodways programs. There's also going to be cucumber salad, so you can look for thinly sliced cucumbers, a little bit of onion, vinegar, and a little sugar and salt in that mix. And then for dessert, I know there's going to be Kuchen. Have you had Kuchen?
I have. That reminds me of my grandmother.
Yes. Well, food is tied to memory, right?
Yeah.
As much as it's tied to tradition. So Kuchen is a yeast a bread that's raised up in, oftentimes has jam incorporated in it, or a kind of a streusel topping with a brown sugar and butter on the top. We think of it today as a coffee cake, but mm-hmm. really for German immigrants, it's an all-purpose, anytime snack or dessert food.
Yeah, my grandmother would serve it like mid-morning mm-hmm. with coffee, calling it Lebkuchen.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And that tradition of coffee clutch, having that coffee is something
right.
that we know a lot about, too. That's a tradition, food tradition that's persisted with us.
You know, some immigrants who came to the U.S. during this time left their food traditions behind, really in an attempt to assimilate to where they were. Did this happen at all with our state's German settlers?
In some ways it did. It's interesting. I think about a cookbook, a really influential German-American cookbook that was published in many editions. It was written by a German woman for Germans immigrating to America. And as we know, many of them came to Wisconsin. But the German cookbook for these immigrants contains some traditional German recipes in the German language, and then a whole section in English with these similar recipes, including translations back and forth of cooking terms. So I think that even from early immigrant times, there was a lot of transition back and forth for Germans. They were learning recipes from these cookbooks that included some American and other European style recipes early on. And of course, they learned from their neighbors too. Mm. But the Germans clearly have left a mark on our food tradition here in Wisconsin.
Do you find that it is a social cooking, that people gather around to do it together?
Historically?
Yeah.
That would be hard to say. I would say in some situations, if you are having a barn raising, a plowing day where your family and friends come together to share equipment or labor, there certainly was food sharing, community eating. You know, if you think of a traditional barn raising scene, and that wasn't just German, of course, that was the practical response to the need for extra hands at work and how to feed them to get them through the task they were doing.
Well, no German-themed event would be complete without cold beer, and you're going to be featuring historic beer that's brewed on site at Old World, Wisconsin.
Right.
can you tell us about that?
Well, we have a wonderful collaborative program with German brewing volunteers from the Wisconsin Museum of Brewing. And they've been working with us for several years now to develop our brewing on-site program. So they've been busy all year, I think every other weekend, doing some kind of special brewing here at Old World, where visitors can come and see the beer they're brewing in historic tradition, but also to have taste. So I will myself be interested to find out which beer they decide to showcase at this Spanferkel.
Have you done Spanferkels in the past? And is it like a learning experience? Do you learn things each time you try them?
Well, this is our first time out the door with a Spanferkel. And I'm thrilled to say that it is sold out. So that's very encouraging and exciting for us. But certainly we look forward. We will learn from this, undoubtedly. And hopefully do the same thing again next year. But we have a lot of food opportunities going on through the entire season. So coming up this fall, guests who come to visit can help us make sauerkraut, great horseradish. They'll be kneading rye bread dough and packing the root cellar, just a few things. And in and among those events, there are oftentimes tastings from historic recipes for guests to enjoy, too.
We're learning about German heritage foods and giving a shout-out to so many Oktoberfest events around Wisconsin. Kate Dallas is our guide. She's curator and exhibit developer at Old World Wisconsin. Some of the largest and longest-running Oktoberfest celebrations happen every year in Wisconsin. There are dozens on the calendar, including West Milwaukee Oktoberfest in West Allis. That's coming up next weekend. There's Old Settlers Oktoberfest in Salem on September 8th, Kohler Falls Oktoberfest September 13th and 14th. So many more. We'll be back for more Wisconsin Weekend in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about German heritage food and this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Old World Wisconsin is holding an 1860s pig roast tomorrow, and we thought it's a good time to talk about the food served at Oktoberfest. There are more than two dozen German festivals in our state over the next couple months. A shout out to Lion's Tail Oktoberfest in Neenah. The Chippewa Falls Oktoberfest is a huge draw. And there's the Lorelei Inn Oktoberfest in Green Bay. So what is your favorite food at Oktoberfest? Have you gone to a heritage pig roast? What was it like? We're at 800-642-1234. Kate Dallas is curator and exhibit developer at Old World Wisconsin, and she stays with us. Kate, what is the significance of rye bread in the German heritage? Why rye?
Rye was a seed that would grow very well in the northern part of the world where Germany is. So it translated pretty easily to Wisconsin.
And then what is the secret to a really good sauerkraut?
Oh. Really good sauerkraut. Wow. Sauerkraut was really important to our German immigrants. You know, I can't speak for really good kraut, but I can tell you that it was vital to them for survival. They planted hundreds of heads per person in the family of cabbage in order to preserve it. The fermentation of sauerkraut allows that cabbage to be preserved in crocks. So you have to imagine a root cellar with crocks and crocks and crocks of kraut, because that's how your cabbage crop is going to feed your family through the long winter. We do have guests help us make sauerkraut, so we use the old-fashioned box cabbage grater to slice it up in shreds, tamp it down into a large crock, add salt, and tamp some more. And I think that's the key to keep that kraut below the liquid cabbage juice level. That'll keep it safe for eating and delicious.
What's down in the root cellar? Can you give us a tour?
Yeah, you know, so those crocks are down there of cabbage for sure, but they're going to be wooden crates that may have eggs layered in them. Eggs could be stored for quite a few months without spoilage if they were laid in between sawdust or sand. So eggs are going to be down there because your hens are going to stop laying once the sunlight reduces. They're going to reduce the amount of eggs they provide. There's going to be carrots in barrels of sand or sawdust down below. If you're lucky and your farm has an orchard, you may have bushels of apples down there drying as well to hold over for the winter. I think that kind of food certainly. In your smokehouse, you're probably going to have sausage and ham smoking too to dry them for the winter months.
Well, before we let you go, can you tell us the significance of Oktoberfest and what you love about it?
I love that it's community nature, that we're really gearing up, celebrating this great harvest, our success through the summer, and we are going forward with confidence into this kind of bleak winter time as a community. So we know that those good spirits that we celebrate in Oktoberfest is going to carry us through the dark times of year. And if you guests want to learn more about Old World Wisconsin, please follow us on Facebook, and you'll see what kinds of community celebrations and historic traditions we're celebrating the whole season long.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Kate Dallas is curator, and she's exhibit developer at Old World Wisconsin, which we should mention is run by the Wisconsin Historical Society and is a business sponsor of WPR. We've been learning about Spanferkel, the pig roast that will be held tomorrow at Old World Wisconsin, and other German heritage foods here on Wisconsin Weekend. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here is producer Maureen McCollum with a story about survival.
Dreaming can help some people get through incredibly difficult times. Madison's Tundalea Taylor talks about how daydreaming helped her overcome a major health crisis and appreciate everyday life.
You want to know what I love? I love traveling, great earrings and purses. I mean, who wouldn't love to shop every day, all day, with not a care or worry in the world? I envision myself walking through the airport with my favorite pair of Black Queen earrings, my cute matching crossbody purse, taking a first-class flight to the Bahamas. I find myself doing that all too often. When I daydream, it was starting to affect my day job. Daydreaming was good to me until I had an unexpected visitor that would put my daydreaming into jeopardy. I had been feeling horrible for a few months. I was so tired, I almost couldn't make it to the doctor appointment. I finally dragged myself to the doctor. Never planned out in my mind that I would drive to the doctor, but I would ride in the ambulance to the emergency room. 8 hours later, one doctor came in and said, "You look good compared to what your body is going through, so we're going to keep you overnight." I suddenly had a sigh of relief. After another doctor came in and told me he ran every test he could possibly run, and he said I had leukemia. Then I called my mom and said, they think I have cancer, even though he was truly sure that's what it was. I called my mama because I wanted her to call him and tell him about himself. Don't be telling her baby she got cancer. Like that one time she told the school worker not to be talking down on her kids. Or like that one time she told our babysitter, don't tell us we can't eat our food. Then finally moved to my first room after being admitted into the hospital. It was the ICU. It was never told to me what stage cancer I was in. I was always told it's aggressive. After 8 rounds of chemo, after 2 bone marrow tests, after various trips to the hospital for infections, after losing my hair, after 4 non-successful tries of getting stem cells, after telling my son I had cancer, after not having an appetite, after many restless nights, after not being able to daydream about traveling to places with no signs of cold weather anywhere, I finally got good news. Besides finding out the chemo was working, there was no evidence of the disease. I got stem cells. I made them on my own with the booster shot, of course. For these new stem cells I was about to receive, going in the hospital for 1 month, take chemo for 7 days. This may have been the hardest chemo I have ever gotten, but I made it to transplant day. Wipe my system out and receive a new beginning. It's like filing chapter 7 bankruptcy in my body. I wanted to go home and heal there. I'm living my life after cancer. I enjoy every day as my last because I don't know how much time I have here. Wow. One thing I was always worried about is if the cancer will ever come back. The thing about cancer is that it's not a cure, so I'm not fully cured of cancer. I'm just living my life like it doesn't exist. This time, when I daydream, is really to take the trip to the Bahamas with my new surviving cancer earrings and I survived cancer t-shirt. The biggest daydream is really a reality because it involves being cancer-free.
Tondalea Taylor's story came to us from the UW Odyssey Project. Taylor was also a guest on the new podcast Inside Stories, which features Madison storytellers and digs deeper into their lives. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your ideas for Wisconsin Weekend to mornings@wpr.org. That's mornings@wpr.org. And we'll explore your tip for a Wisconsin Weekend program. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.